Steph is going to be back. Klay comes back. KD comes back. And a lottery pick who now not only is R.J. Barrett going to be the transitional piece, R.J. Barrett and another lottery pick become the transitional pieces. Once this crew is done, now I've got two more to continue it along the way. Think about a mulligan year that way, and Draymond Green could be the key piece to making that happen.
Well, not just that. Add in the fact that between Evans and Lee and Bell and all the young guys you currently have, next year giving them more reps, more time, more of an opportunity, hopefully you hit on one or two of those as well, and then you combine them with the scenario you're bringing up. And there's not to say there isn't a future piece to this team currently on the roster. Some of these guys don't get any minutes. Jacob Evans just doesn't get enough minutes. We have no idea.
I would say that there's not a future piece on this roster.
You don't like Jordan Bell?
I don't like Jordan Bell.
I think he rode his ticket out of town with the business he had in Memphis, right? With putting stuff on...
That didn't help. I think he rode his ticket out of town last year in Summer League when he turned down the opportunity to play, and he turned down multiple opportunities to get better. He barked at Steve Kerr on the sideline in a game. He sent a candle to Mike Brown. And ultimately, if I asked you right now, what's Jordan Bell's best offensive move, you would say jumping at the rim and cashing in an alley hoop.
Yeah,
he doesn't have really a discernible offensive skill. And if Jacob Evans was that much of an offensive dynamo, he would have done a lot in Santa Cruz, and he would have forced his way into these garbage time situations in the regular season, which he didn't do. So you could look at Damian Lee. We've seen what we've seen from Alphonso McKinney and Quinn Cook. They're nice ninth or tenth guys, but they're not key bench rotation pieces. This draft on Thursday is a huge, huge deal for Bob Myers and his staff because they have not done very well in recent days with their second round purchases.
Can I give you something to think about?
I guess.
This core group of Warriors that won three championships in 5 years was put together with one other person in the personnel mix. And that other person just happened to be the greatest person to ever have that job, Jerry West.
Don't sleep on Travis Schlenk and the role he played as the guy who went out there and scouted all these players.
Fabulous job. And there's a great group of guys there. But this core group was with Jerry West. And Jerry West ain't there. He's not the point man to stand up and say, if you trade Klay for Kevin Love, I'm walking out of the door. And you guys can handle it on your own. Well, now they're handling it on their own. Does anyone have the confidence that everyone else left outside of Jerry West is creative enough to do what we're talking about here? Keep the candle lit and to keep it running. They're right now running on Jerry West's flame. The flame's starting to get a little bit narrow. Are they going to relight it? Do we have confidence that Bob Myers and the rest of the crew without Jerry West have the leadership and the foresight to keep it going?
You win 3 and 5, I answer your question with yes. I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I'd answer you because that's a great question. Mm-hmm. It's an outstanding question. That was the big thing. That's a story for another day. But reality, as it sits right now, is if I'm going to have to make a decision on that, I'm going to side with yes because I've seen 3 titles in 5 years.
But that was with Jerry West.
I know. Okay. But those individuals.
Well, Steph and Klay were drafted before Jerry West got there. So let's be completely transparent and fair before you give the logo more credit than perhaps he deserves, Jim.
Maybe you can pull your head out of Dixon
and realize that this organization did things before Jerry West was here. Steph Curry was drafted when the logo was not around. So let's be fair and honest here, Sacramento.
But the logo is the guy who traded Monte Ellis. The logo is the guy who said, if you trade Klay for Kevin Love, I'm out the door. The logo is the guy who put this thing together. And the logo right now is, 6, 7 hours south? 4 hours south? He's with the Clippers. He's building a new dynasty down there, trying to face the Lakers up. So I'm just asking the question. That if I'm a Warrior fan, I'm sitting back going, hey, wait a minute. The guy who put this whole thing together isn't putting it together anymore.
He also played a significant role in recruiting Kevin Durant. Durant always said that there
Excellent
was that great
point.
Conversation he had with Jerry West on the phone
You're
that
right.
played a role in the recruitment. Not to say that the players going to the Hamptons didn't play a role, but just there was a lot there. I would say that you probably can't replace a guy like Jerry West. Maybe you can learn from him. And with the 3 titles in 5 years, I'm going to side with the organization on just about everything moving forward. But that's not to say that there isn't a concern, perhaps. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Who says no? Draymond to the Pelicans for the number 4 pick. What do you think about that?
You know
one?
What?
Because now you're past the big three of Zion, Barrett, and Morant.
They think they want to compete. I think they see a window of being able to compete. I think that, again, that's the start of a discussion. But I think that certainly is something that the Pelicans would consider. I think they would have a discussion, a serious discussion about that.
I think
Alvin Gentry's their coach.
Yeah, former assistant here. I think the Warriors would be the one to say no, because I really think that they're going to hitch their wagon to having the core four back and giving it one last chance. Because you look at the NBA Finals, and if you're in the Warriors front office, you're thinking, if KD doesn't get hurt, even though he missed all those games, if he comes back and he doesn't rupture the Achilles the way he was playing, if Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt the way he was playing in Game 6, you feel like you still would have won that NBA Finals. So you look at the core four and think, in a year's time, a year and a half's time, they're not going to be so far off that we can't make one last run.
Take all the professional sports teams in the Bay Area. Which one wins the next title?
Oh, boy.
You seem convinced that if it's the approach with the Warriors, you go out there, you make the move, you keep Draymond. Basically, this upcoming year is probably not going to be your most competitive year,
right?
But you're not aiming for that. You're aiming for 2 years. 2 years from now is where you're going to make your big final push with hopefully some after kick in the years to follow.
Yes.
But would you say the Warriors are the most likely to win the next title?
I would put them at the top of my list, assuming that, and I guess this whole thing is based on assumption, but KD and Klay Thompson re-signed for the max. Draymond stays. This next year goes by.
No, not assuming. You just have to take all the information have now.
That's what I'm assuming.
You're going to assume they get that done, and that's part of the reason why you're making this
correct
call.
Because right. I'm assuming that KD returns. If KD doesn't return and they end up trading Draymond and this thing gets rebuilt, then I've got egg on my face a la low at the parade. But I would still say the Warriors would be number one on my most likely list. Slightly ahead or significantly ahead of number two and then all the way down.
Who's number two?
I put the A's at number two.
Really?
Yeah, I think the A's are a team that can scrap into a wild card. And in Major League Baseball, if you can get in, baseball, I think, gives the greatest chance for an underdog to make a run in the postseason.
Power rankings. Raiders.
Yeah, let's power rank them.
Raiders, A's, Sharks, Warriors, Niners in a tie for fourth.
You put the Raiders first?
I put the Raiders in the hunt this year. This is their only year to do it. Next year, they're off the list because we're saying Bay Area teams.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, but I've got them right now as the team most likely to win a championship in the Bay Area.
I mean, whoa.
Yep.
What? First of all, they've got two really, really solid opponents in that division. Forget about Denver. Kansas City is going to take a step back, but they're still legit.
Yep.
The Chargers are built for the regular season, too. The Chargers are going to get to double-digit wins.
All right, and I agree.
So now you're talking about grabbing the second wild card.
I think, why can't they win the division? You don't think the Chargers and the Chiefs look at the Raiders and say, wait a minute, they're not the softies they used to be?
I think that's probably exactly what they think.
Okay, that's fine.
The reason I think what would lead me, okay, take me down the reason as to why I would be worried about the Raiders if I'm the Chargers or the Chiefs. If I'm the Chargers, I'm looking at the Chiefs, and if I'm the Chiefs, I'm looking at the Chargers. Why would
that's
I include
good for the Raiders?
Else?
That's good for the Raiders. I think the Raiders have upgraded in a number of positions, and I think that I believe in Carr. I believe that they've got enough weaponry around him to make him a decent, more than decent. Remember, he was an MVP candidate until he got injured just a couple of years ago.
Agreed.
I think he can do that again. I think they've upgraded the defense. They brought in some manglers on the defense. I just think it's an upgraded team, and they're going to catch the one thing that, like the Bears did last year. No one's thinking about them. Yeah, they're a little bit better. They're cute. And then the Bears run off 12 wins. You get a field goal, you might make yourself into a Super Bowl team. Same thing with the Raiders this year. No one thinks about the Raiders. No one thinks about them other than the fact they're a sideshow. I think they're a better sideshow this year. That's
Welcome
just
Hard
my
Knocks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Watch them at Hard Knocks. They're gonna. You know, that's gonna be the most watched Hard Knocks ever. Raiders, A's, Sharks, Niners, Warriors tied for fourth.
Raiders, A's, Sharks, Niners, Warriors tied for fourth. I think you had the Warriors too far down.
Yeah.
Cozy
Moore, first and foremost.
I don't know what you smoking.
Thank you.
All right, the Raider angle's intriguing because you've got a capable quarterback that if he's ready to shake off everything that's happened the last couple years, I can get behind him leading a run. I worry about the offensive line. This was the strength of this team a few years ago. Now, not only is it a very different offensive line, Tom Cable, the worst offensive line coach in NFL history, is overseeing
it. You're right.
He is terrible at his job. Absolutely terrible. the second he left Seattle with no personnel changes whatsoever, that line became 10 times better simply because they had good coaching there. And you put a huge investment in Trent Brown and you turning him over to Tom Cable. So that worries me. The locker room component. Antonio Brown, Richie Incognito,
love
and Vontaze Burfict.
Love it.
You love it for TV.
I
love watching it on Hard Knocks. Yep. I don't know about whether or not that team's going to lead me. Those guys
he
are going to lead
some
me anywhere.
Edge. Yeah, Gruden knows. And Gruden's used to guys like that. This is his DNA, man. I'm telling you. I know you guys don't want to hear it because everyone's all hurt. They're leaving. I get it. I'm not hurt.
I can get behind some optimism. I can't get behind them number
all
one
right.
in these rankings.
Is this
all
one
right.
of those points where you give full disclosure about you doing the pregame show or the postgame show? Because I know you're a man who wears many hats.
I don't get paid by the Raiders to do anything. I work for 95.7 The Game. I work
Correct.
For NBC.
In your work at NBC, if
yes.
I may, Mr. Cosmore, if you'll allow me some latitude, Your
oh,
Honor, do you or do you not do pre and or postgame for the Oakland Raiders? It's a simple question, James.
I used to do post-game for the Raiders.
So going forward, you've been removed for the coverage? Or
well,
are you now currently lobbying? Excuse me, Your Honor.
I believe we don't do it. I believe we don't do... You mean at NBC?
Correct.
We don't do a post-game for the Raiders.
Nor a pre-game?
No.
Do you do any shoulder programming
I
with
do
the Raiders?
Not...
We do. As we go deep inside TV.
I believe I may be involved. You know, there's a show. You know the Sunday Night Football game? I may be involved in the program after Sunday Night Football.
Interesting.
Yeah,
there's
no,
a chance. That
isn't that
happen.
Mike Tirico? I'm watching Mike Tirico.
I'm
not watching
Tirico.
You.
Tirico. Hang on for me.
Stay
for Tirico.
Step aside from Rodney Harrison, Tony Dungy, and Mike Tirico. Here comes Jim Cosimore.
Yeah. Hey,
some crazy take.
When the game ends, I'm always calling the truck wherever they are. Hey, tell Tirico to tighten it up. I'm ready to roll over here.
I think... Well, other than you, you
me
being
and Romo,
crazy.
It's
me
a very, very challenging division. That's the key reason. I'm not as concerned about the personnel or as concerned about the schedule or the coaching. I think there are a lot of pieces in place, Raider-wise, that could make it an intriguing season from a wins perspective. I think the divisional path to a playoff spot for them winning a title, if we're talking about the next Bay Area team to win a title, that is an awfully difficult road. Awfully difficult.
It is.
Like I said, the Chiefs are going to regress this year. Every number points to it, but they're still going to be good. And the Chargers, say what you want about them in the playoffs. I was on the wrong end of that last year. They are built for the regular season. They are built to put 10-plus wins
on
the board.
I love the Chargers. I love the Chargers.
It's going to be very difficult just to find your way into the playoffs based on your division. It's a very tough division.
But my answer also speaks to how far some of these other teams are from winning championships. And I think the Warriors are far from a championship right now. You don't know what Klay and KD are going to... First of all, you don't know what they're going to do. And
right.
when they do it, you don't know how they're coming back. So I can't put them in the pantheon of greatness. The A's might be the number one team on the list. But because the Raiders have 1 year left, I'm elevating them. They've got their chance.
In a seven-game series, who's pitching for the A's? This is the same conversation
the
we
opener,
have every year.
Joe, you are in the opener. You're going to open up the game.
That's
and then Mike Fiers will pitch every other game after that.
Great plan.
And close with Trinan.
I'll tell you what, AJ Puck started to look good down there in the minors.
Bingo.
Cross-pollinate the bit.
Tremendous. Very difficult, though, for me to get behind that idea. That team, you're right. The way you're stacking it, you're taking teams that have good chances of getting to the playoffs.
Yes.
Once the run happens, once you get there, I've had this conversation about the A's, and I've heard it for 20 years. The same thing. Once you get there, what happens in a seven-game series? You're going to go closer, followed by Fiers, followed by what? By the way, did anyone see what Houston will throw out there? Anyone see what the Yankees are going to throw out there?
It's decent.
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, the Yankees, they're okay.
When they add Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith.
Yes, like you're going up against some serious firepower. Nice story. Lot to get excited about with the A's. But once we get to the postseason, we start talking about winning a seven-game series, you're going to need those Verlander-type performances. They happen every year on behalf of the team that wins. You saw it from the Red Sox last year. David Price suddenly found a way to give the Red Sox quality innings last year.
Joe, you keep talking about a seven-game win. I need them to win a wild card game first. If they could just please win the wild card game, I'd be happy because I'm still stinging from what happened last year. I'm still stinging.
Me too.
Was it Kansas City? I still see Josh Donaldson diving towards the third baseline trying to make the play on that ball that's hit up the line.
If you can't remember, it can't still sting you.
It
by
does
the way.
Sting me.
You have no
because
idea
I'm trying to block
happened.
It out. I'm coming over the top of this table, I swear.
Come on over, Cosmore. I'm not afraid of Lowe Neal. I'm not afraid of you.
The shirt's
Joe,
coming off,
what
and we're going at it.
Joe, what would your order be? What would your order be?
Yeah, we
the
haven't heard
Warriors
your order.
Number one because there are more question marks. I want to go in a different direction. I honestly do. But there are more question marks surrounding literally every other team than there are the Warriors. I don't think any team in the Bay Area is winning a title in the next go-through, so that means I got the Warriors 2 years from now, or I got what? All right? Let's start with the Sharks. Such a great first date. Such a great first date. Problem is, no one's putting a ring on that finger.
Do you get to the third date with them? Do you ever get to the Keith, the transitional third date?
Maybe you get to the third date, maybe you close, but it doesn't go past that.
All right.
That's the problem.
Third date,
I would love to sit here and say,
and
yes,
that's it.
Erik Karlsson's back for 8 years. This is going to turn everything around. But they have shown me, via the eye test, 4 years, they can't close in the biggest spot. They've had some great runs, great players, great games. They don't close. So I'm not going to get behind that.
They don't sell coffee at SAP, by the way, as it turns out, because as we know, coffee's for closers.
Right.
So
wow.
Just playing off of your Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross
excellent,
line that you love
by
so
the way,
much.
Excellent scene.
I'm talking probably a good 3 years from being one of those teams where it's like, all right, Giants could make some serious noise this year, but it's going to be, I mean, this is a season we're just flushing down, and then we come back next year and what? Still paying Posey, still paying Crawford, still paying Belt.
Longo.
It's going to take some time there, so I can't get behind that. The A's theory, nice. I could, if we were doing a who gets back to the postseason first, there's some interest there. But again, you get into a seven-game series, the way you construct your team is not built to win a seven-game series, so I'm not going to get behind that. The Raiders, I laid out my concerns. It is a very, very difficult path through the division. There are two really good teams in that division. And if you're talking about making the playoffs and the Chiefs and Chargers do what they're supposed to this year, you're talking about getting the second wild card from your division. By the way, that's probably not going to happen because the Patriots are getting in the playoffs. You're going to have a winner from the AFC North. The Colts are going to be good. The Jags are going to be improved. The Texans are going to threaten 10 wins. The AFC South has a bunch of contenders as well. It's going to be very difficult to get a playoff spot. Not to say the Raiders can't make progress, but I don't like the path. For the Niners, I think there's some intrigue there. I really do think that's a team that can pop. But we're talking about the NFC, so the Saints are still around, the Eagles are still around, the Rams are still around in the division, the Seahawks can still make some plays. Then we've got to concern ourselves with whether or not Garoppolo stays healthy and hits the high end, whether or not the team can coach its way into the playoffs and then make plays in the playoffs, and whether or not we trust secondary. So there are a ton of question marks there as well. Earthquakes, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that.
Quakes have gotten a little bit hotter lately. They're starting to turn things around after
no
the new
takes.
Coach comes in.
I got no earth takes.
That'd
be a good podcast.
Yeah, I came up with that on the spot.
That's
earth
a
takes.
Good one.
There you go, Dibs. You can do that.
I'm
going
to have to borrow that. Yes, they haven't done anything in MLS since they got rid of one Jim Cosimore.
And Dan Dibley.
Well, my year, they didn't do that well.
That's correlation.
Yeah,
that
but
is
you
not
were part
causation.
Of
no, it's absolutely causation.
Did you? I was thinking of this the other day. Did you stop a penalty kick or score a penalty kick?
I stopped one Kelly Gray.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Actual MLS star, you stopped a penalty kick.
It was a pregame hit we did where we were showing how difficult it is to be the goalkeeper in a PK situation. Jim was narrating. I was all padded up in goal, and it was Kate Scott.
Why were you padded up?
I had the gloves on, and I had, like, the goalie shirt.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like,
so
wearing
you were just dressed like
pads.
A soccer goalie.
Like a soccer goalie.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was all ready to go. It was Kelly Gray.
So you had gloves on. Great.
I was padded up, Coach. I was
padded up.
I'm a game
I put on gloves and a shirt.
It was me against Kelly Gray and against Kate Scott, the great Kate Scott, who absolutely side-netted me. I had no response.
Yeah, side-net. You can't stop it.
But the former MLS player, Kelly Gray, I guessed correctly and stopped him at the post. It was highlight of my TV athletic career. But thank you for the reminder of that
Thank you. Exactly. As we do our earth takes.
Great earth take right there.
But just let
I'm
it marinate
steal it.
A little bit
and
before
I'm,
you
no,
just
I'm
run
keep,
it into
I'm
the
gonna,
ground.
I'm going to keep kicking it out there.
Jeez.
Great. Earth takes.
Put it out to the callers, 888-957-9570. Who's going to win the next title in the Bay Area? If you rank the Warriors one, realize that I am going to ask a follow-up. Who would you have number two? That's where I think it gets the most challenging for most people. The number's 888-957-9570. Speaking of the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo, a very interesting theory floating around out there about the future of this franchise. That is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. Well, we're counting down the days to NBA free agency. Lots of moves could be on the horizon. What do the Warriors do with Draymond Green? And who's more of a priority to re-sign, DeMarcus Cousins or Kevon Looney? Joe Coz and Dibs will discuss. And football season is inching closer. Jimmy Garoppolo is back in the spotlight. What are the expectations for the 49ers quarterback? The guys will discuss and talk to the voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa, coming up at 8:30. On the diamond, Pablo Sandoval was spiked on his right hand by Max Muncy, sustaining a lacerated pinky. But the Giants got the last laugh with a 3-2 win over the Dodgers. And Mike Fiers retired 17 straight Orioles in the A's' own 3-2 victory. This update is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Anna Kaganagy's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our Taco Tuesday-bound listening audience, because we love you, and we have got a lot of people on hold that want to jump into the conversation. Question is as follows: which professional Bay Area sports team wins the next championship? One caveat: if you pick the Warriors, I'm going to want to know who your number two is as well. The number is 888-957-9570. On this day in history, little throwback, 2000, so 19 years ago today, Tiger takes the 100th U.S. Open by 15 strokes. That was Pebble Beach,
yep,
if not mistaken.
Yep.
19 years ago today. 13 years ago today, Phil Mickelson blew it at Wingfoot.
Wingfoot. He hit that tee shot about eight counties to the left, and Bones was begging him to hit the three-wood. Par five, hit the three-wood, Phil. Just hit the three-wood, and he blocked that tee shot left, about seven counties left, and it was over.
Tomorrow is the 35th anniversary of Michael Jordan going number three overall in the draft. 35 years since the Bulls took Michael Jordan number three overall.
And when the Warriors get that number three pick for Draymond Green from the New York Knicks, imagine the joy you will hear at Chase Center.
You know, with the Warriors' luck, when they get number three, the old Warriors' luck, they had number one, Joe Smith out of Maryland, who, good little player, wasn't quite the transitional, transcendent player. And then they had number three later, and they took a 6'10" swingman out of Duke, a guy by the name of Mike Dunleavy Jr. So the history of number three picks, that's very good for Golden State in my memory anyway.
That's a good call.
He's looking good, too. He was at all the games at Oracle. I don't know who he's working for, but Dunleavy was at, on the court, all the games.
And he's a classic case, Joe, of a guy who's overdrafted. Because if you look at his career, 14 or so years or however many years in the association.
You take it.
You absolutely take it. But being the number three overall, he's always going to be a disappointment.
All right, let's turn it to the phones. 888-957-9570. Which Bay Area pro sports team do you believe will win the next title? Blake and San Leandro, we will begin with you. Blake, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fire when ready.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe the 49ers. Their MO has sucked for about 6 years, and then you get all these draft picks and load the defense up, and you got a better quarterback than you've had in years past. Alex Smith was holding us back. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the phone call. In terms of where the Niners are, we laid it out earlier. There's some intrigue. There's some upside. There are a lot of metrics pointing to a better season this year, but still, if you're going to be honest, you got to figure it's a sizable distance between here and the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Yes, I think it's 2 to 3 years, honestly, and that's if things go well and if Jimmy Garoppolo turns out to be the quarterback that we think he's going to be. I actually have them fourth on my most likely list. I have the Warriors first, and I do have the A's second, even though we talked about it, about how do the A's handle a 7-game series without much starting pitching. I still think baseball gives them the best chance. And I have the Sharks third, so the Niners all the way fourth. I got the Raiders fifth, Jimmy. I know you have them
number one.
There's
a lot of hate. You've got a lot of issues and hate that you're dealing with on your list.
I put my issues and hate aside when I make these lists.
I will say about the 49ers, there's a part of me that's so positive about the coming year. I think they're in the hunt with Seattle and the Rams. Two of those three teams are going to be playoff teams. I think they're in the hunt. I think the 49ers are in the discussion.
Well, the upside for you is that with the Rams, there's the potential for the Super Bowl regression. You always see that from the loser.
Right.
But outside of luck or curses or what have you, it's the Todd Gurley factor. The Rams are one of the very few teams in the National Football League that runs its offense through its running back rather than its quarterback. And with Gurley battling this knee injury and this arthritis, and no one's really sure how serious it is, plus now the Rams and McVay have this weird thing going on with the contract.
Yeah.
They're not sure how much they want to give him an extension. I'm sure that's posturing because there's no way you let that guy hit the open market. There are a few things lined up for the Rams to have a couple missteps this year. Mm-hmm. So to see that wouldn't necessarily be a surprise. Seattle's vulnerable because they've been watching foundational piece after foundational piece leave, retire, get injured, get traded, sign elsewhere. But you still have Russell Wilson. You still have one of the game's best quarterbacks, and you have one of the game's best home field advantages. Those two things are huge when you're trying to grind out, say, 10 wins to get to the playoffs. But the gap is closed. I would say the gap is closed. I don't think this division is where it was, at least from a Niner perspective, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even last year. You can get in there and make some noise, but again, you are going to be the longer shot. You're going to need things to break your way, especially with the way that schedule stacks up at the end of the season, Jim.
Yeah, you're right on the schedule. You're right with all that stuff. But if I'm just piecing it together, and you've made a lot of my case right there with what both the Rams and the Seahawks are up against, I just think this could be that year. That's the breakout year. It's not going to be the 12-win breakout, but they're going to get a little surprise factor on their side because I still don't think a lot of people look at the 49ers as a viable club. I do think they've built themselves nicely for this coming season.
They're in a position, I think you're right. But for me, Jim, it's all about prove it to me that you can beat Arizona, a team that beat you twice last year.
Good call.
One time you were god-awful. One of the games you gave away to Arizona. The other one you were just terrible. So that, to me, is where this starts. Before we start talking about progressions and the Rams being vulnerable and Seattle being vulnerable, fine, those things are all true, but as a 49er team, you have a lot to prove before you become a legitimate contender.
Renegade in Oakley. Renegade, thanks for the phone call. Floor is yours. Which Bay Area pro sports team wins the next championship?
Well, before I get into that, I want to thank Cozumel again for coming to work with that sore ankle and leg. I know it's going to bother him for the rest of his career.
Thank you.
Second of all, I have the Oakland Athletics, and let me tell you why. And nobody gives them any credit. I hear them get bashed by somebody who got their feelings hurt in the afternoon. But this team is missing three starters, A.J. Puck, Lazardo, and Sean Manaea. All good young pitchers, and they still manage to be just a game over 500. The organization, I think I'm back in Canada, the organization is not looking to trade players like they have in the past. They're adding pieces. I think Dave Cavill and the rest of the organization is a step up from what they had before. So I've got the Oakland A's going away. And as far as the Raiders, I will never put the O word in front of them again. I appreciate the time. And Cozumel, thanks again. I served in the military, and you're one of those guys we get up for every morning because it doesn't matter how you feel, you're at work.
I was going to thank you for your service, but you're welcome is what I have to say to you, Renegade. You're welcome.
Wow, one guy.
You are out of the walking boot, aren't you?
I'm out of the walking boot.
Congratulations.
And as of yesterday, they said I can get out of the lace-up boot. Just so people understand, not only did I break my leg, here's the side story.
You fell down in the ocean,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken?
Wave one, Cozumel's leg nil.
Okay, yeah, you were in the ocean swimming.
No, he wasn't swimming.
You were walking out of the ocean and fell down?
He was standing in the ocean, Coach. Not even swimming. He wasn't attacked by a shark. He was attacked by a two-foot-high wave that toppled him.
Okay, about said wave.
Please.
Here's the untold story. 3 weeks after I broke my leg, a doctor had to scrape sand off my eardrum because the force of the wave had shoved so much sand up into my head. They had to scrape it off my eardrum. That's how violent the wave was. And I only barely broke my leg. That's how badass I am.
One way to spin it. The other would be you don't know how to shower properly.
Yes, I was thinking.
Get in the shower and clean your ears.
It embedded into my eardrum so badly.
The sand was in your brain and it just rattled out a few weeks later.
No, I had to go to a doctor and they had to scrape it off the eardrum.
Could you not hear as well?
No, I couldn't hear very well.
This guy's a mess.
I couldn't hear. That's how violent the wave was.
Your grotesque lack of coordination to where a wave would topple you with such force that your head would slam into the sand at such a high velocity that sand would be embedded in your eardrum, that speaks to a lack of athleticism.
How do you survive something like that? If that story's true, how'd you survive?
I'm a badass, man. I'm telling you, I should have been in the Marines. Look at this. Look at this, Joe.
Come on in, China.
I think America's in good shape with the Marines we have now. Thank you very much. Hemi in San Pablo. Hemi, thanks for the phone call. Always good to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Who wins the next pro sports championship for the Bay Area?
What has been said in sports, defense wins championships, right? That's the motto, right? Well, I believe that the Niners have been setting themselves up for the defense to be a great defense, and I believe that the Niners are the next team to win a championship. You have Shanahan, a great offensive-minded coach, with the defense that the Niners are setting up. I just believe that they're the next team to win it. And second, I have the Warriors. Why? Because you still have Curry and you still have Green. And if Durant comes back and Thompson, they are who they are. But I have the Niners number one.
So all right.
That's what I believe.
Appreciate the phone call. I like it that we're not just getting a clean sweep of Warrior picks, because the Warriors are probably the easiest pick to take.
Right.
I do like the idea of branching out a little bit from that. We're getting some good calls today.
You know what? I am encouraged that so many people still have good thoughts about the 49ers, because there was a stretch. Let's not kid ourselves. Watching a 49er game has been painful.
Yeah.
It's visually painful. The team doesn't compete.
Yeah.
The only thing you need to know is that they get the lowest level broadcast team every single week. And that's not to disparage those guys, because you got to rank your teams, but you're not getting Buck and Aikman
for a whole lot of games.
Yeah, you're not getting Nance if they're crossing over with an AFC opponent.
No.
You get Rondé Barber every game. I like Rondé Barber.
Yeah.
Again, this isn't about the broadcast team, but you rank broadcast teams, and the last of the broadcast teams is generally in Santa Clara calling
Dick
the game.
Stockton,
I was just
going to
say, how many times did we have Dick Stockton on the
show? Can't
do
it.
I look at those guys, it's like, oh my God, you've probably had enough.
Yeah.
You've probably had enough of this job.
Although,
maybe start calling another sport.
From a broadcaster standpoint, it does cut the show prep down a little bit when you're doing your fifth Niner game. You already have your whole board done, so you only have to prep for one team.
That's an excellent
point. As we go inside play-by-play.
I'm sensing the bottom line on the 49er takes here are, I don't think it's my myopic fan. I actually think they see something. I do. I don't think there's a lot of room for myopic fan right now with a 49er fan base, right? They've been kicked around enough since they got into the Super Bowl. Then they had the 8-8 year, I believe, after that, and it has been crap ever since.
I think last year was the myopic year, and I like your use of myopic and myopia of like, oh, we're going to be 11-5.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, he's ready to roll. We finally have our quarterback. And I think this year, Jim, to your point, Niner fan is much more grounded in reality of, look, if things go well and everything pans out, Quan Alexander and his knee and everything, maybe 10 wins is possible. I don't sense that same level of, we're going to go 14-2.
Yeah.
Who's in the, which teams are lacking optimism at the moment? When you get the fan base on the phone, it sounds like the Niner fan base is coming in with optimism. The A's fan base is clearly coming in with optimism. The Raider fan base, we haven't heard as much from, but you made a fairly optimistic case.
Yeah.
And I would say that if I had this side with optimism or pessimism, I'd be more optimistic about the Raiders this year than I would be pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks fans, probably pretty optimistic, especially now that Carlson's back for 8 years.
I think they're up against it, though. I think Shark fan has been teased with playoff runs enough. They got to the Cup final and lost to Sidney Crosby a few years ago. They could have gotten there this year. Some breaks didn't go their way. You can argue some did. But I think Shark fan might start to be a little bit, not pessimistic, but
sure,
they're certainly...
Okay. At the worst, Shark fan is on the fence.
There you go.
At the worst.
And
they're not going to be pessimistic because there's a lot to like.
There's only one fan base that's pessimistic now, and that's down there at Third and King.
Yep.
And as much as you
want to... Wait a minute. From a context standpoint, you're not all that optimistic about the Warriors next year.
I guess you're right.
Based on the expectation being parades, next year we had a conversation yesterday about whether or not they even go to the playoffs.
Man.
So I don't think it's just the Giants.
You're probably right.
You probably have a little bit more pessimism with the Warriors only because they've set the bar so high. What you expect from the Warriors would probably be what you take for any other fan base right now. You take it for any other fan base. They've set the bar so high, you're probably more bearish on the Warriors than you are
you're
bullish.
Right, and especially as you look at Thursday's draft and you think about where they're picking at the end of the first round, the end of the second round. They actually have two choices, but you look back at the recent vintage of draft picks, Jacob Evans is a miss. Damian Jones is looking at...
Is it too early to say that?
It's looking like it's a miss.
Late. Isn't he just a rookie this past year?
Sure, but the guy who played in 30 games, he couldn't even crack...
You got to retract that. You can't call him a miss yet. It's 1 year and he barely got any burn with how many guys are on that team.
Look at
Back
Kevon
up
Looney
the truck,
too.
Please.
Look what happened
Back the
with
truck
him.
Up. I'm going to have to request it. Thank you. Very reasonable.
Jacob Evans, didn't have a good first year.
But
okay, I won't put the M word on.
Fair statement.
You look at the draft, going back to Damian Jones, who not looking like a rotation player. He's been unable to stay healthy. Kevon Looney, yes. That's a great pick. That's worked out.
I don't even know if I call it a great pick. It's a pick with potential. Again, great picks are Draymond Green, right? You go to the second round and you find a guy who makes the all-NBA team. That's a great pick. Let's not just throw the word great around to mean anything.
I would say it's a great pick here. Because he was 30th, end of the first round, and the guy's been a rotation piece on the championship team. That's a great pick for me at 30.
Warriors are victims of their own success. When that same draft, they got Draymond. They also got Festus Ezeli with the last pick of the first round. They also got Harrison Barnes.
Ajinin Kuzmic as well.
And it helped them win the first one. So I think we always expect them to find the gem late in the first round, somewhere in the second round. I think that's somewhat unfair.
Find a guy who can play. How about that?
It's not that easy. It's not that easy.
It is for some. And you're talking about...
And that guy ain't there. And his name is Jerry West.
You're talking about an entire globe
worth
of people. Well, then you got to replace him, Jim. You got to replace Jerry West with somebody who knows
how to scout basketball. How'd that work for the Lakers, trying to replace Jerry West?
They're cooking right now.
They're
set to win the next five titles.
Yeah, they really struggled in the draft of late, Jim. You're right. Huh, let's see. They drafted Ingram. Yeah, they drafted Kuzma. Those guys are both future all-stars.
Yeah, they don't even have those guys anymore, though. That's the crazy thing.
We're talking
about
the draft.
They don't have.
We're not talking about all these trades and free agency moves.
They stunk for 5 years. How many number two overall picks did they have? You just went through the list yesterday. They're all gone, for crying out loud. The best one of those players, they dealt D'Angelo Russell because they thought Lonzo Ball was going to be the guy, and they just gave him away.
They did not have a first-round pick between 2010 and 2013. So starting in 2014 until present day, here are the Laker first-round picks. Julius Randle in 2014, no longer with the team. Larry Nance Jr. and D'Angelo Russell in 2015, no longer with the team. 2016 was Brandon Ingram. He's gone. 2017 was Lonzo Ball, gone. And Tony Bradley. Bradley was traded to Utah for Josh Hart, who's gone. And Thomas Bryant, who they let go to waivers. Wizards picked him up. They love the guy. Moritz Wagner, last year.
I'm floored.
That came in the Larry Nance trade.
I'm floored Joe has his crap at his fingertips. I was just trying to make an innocuous point. He's backing me up. Way to go, Joe.
Preparation prevents poor performance.
Good job.
As I was told my whole life growing up.
I got the poor performance.
My dad's a hit of cocktail parties.
Yeah, you do. And he made my point of the draft. This is about the draft. Can the Warriors go out and find a player in Thursday's draft who can actually get on the court and play? And this is not to disrespect Damian Jones or Jacob Evans, but you got to find some players who can play.
Part of that, though, as to why these guys aren't getting on the court and playing is because how are they going to get on the court when you have Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD, and Boogie Cousins starting for you? It's going to be difficult to get first-round picks on the court. It's much easier to get a first-round pick on the court in Chicago, in Charlotte, in Detroit, in Phoenix. In Phoenix, the first-round pick's playing 40 minutes a night if he wants.
Yeah.
You don't get as much burn. You don't get as much opportunity.
You get as much burn as you can earn because you're going to get all these garbage time minutes. And in this era where guys are sitting out games and bunches. How many minutes did the kid from Luxembourg get? Because he was undrafted.
McKinney?
Alphonso McKinney.
The kid from Luxembourg.
The kid who played in Luxembourg. So you got a kid who played in Luxembourg. He's able to come in and get minutes. Quinn Cook, undrafted afterthought out of Duke. He got minutes. Jonas Jerebko, a cast off with limited skills. He got minutes, and Jacob Evans, unable to get minutes. So you can say what you want about it's easier to get 40 minutes a night. You're right.
Jerebko was also brought in as a veteran. He was brought in for a specific role, whereas Evans, you can't trust him a whole lot early if you haven't seen him. I'm not arguing or saying your point is wrong.
Yes, and I'm not trying to make this about Jacob Evans because it's really not. It's about Thursday.
The anti-Jacob Evans take is quite strong.
I'd like to see the kid play is all I'm saying. You have so many minutes of garbage time with a good team like the Warriors that he could have made a greater impact than he didn't. That's all I'm saying.
Let's turn it back over to the people. Will in Marin. Will, always great to hear from you. Which Bay Area pro sports team wins the next championship?
I think it's going to be the Sharks, and this is why. A lot of people don't really look at it because it's not on the same echelon of hype, but the Sharks had a really good playoff run this year, and they also had a lot of injury because, you know, a lot of their big guys went down, and it doesn't get talked as much because, Pavs and Donskoy aren't Clay and KD, and I totally understand that. But ever since I've been like 11 years old, I swear they've always been on the cusp and they've always been right there, and they always have good coaching and always good depth. So I really think the Sharks are really due. Like, I really think that they're due, and I really think that they're talented. They just had a really crappy injury bugged this playoff season, and I know that that comes with that sport. Hockey's no joke, but I really think that they're next in line. They have a lot of good young depth, too, that stepped off this playoff run that no one really expected, and they kind of played a big role. And I think with their coaching staff and getting Carlson back and just kind of having the veteran presence with the new guys stepping up, I really think San Jose Sharks are going to be no joke next year.
Good call. Appreciate the phone call. Two ways to look at it. One, like that, they've got everything you need to compete at a very high level. And then on the flip side, there's the, have we seen you maxed out? Have we seen through all these years, has it been right in front of us all along? A good team, not a great team. That's what the debate comes down to. If you're putting your eggs in a basket, it's not a bad basket. Because if it's, this is a prison bet and you need the team to win a title next, that's a pretty good shot. I mean, you're going to take them over the Giants. I don't hear anyone calling to talk about the Giants, by the way. I think everyone's kind of come to grips on that. Let me ask this. If you have to make the bet, which team gets to the playoffs next? Okay? And it's baseball's obviously got an advantage because they're already in play. They're the next one up.
So starting right now, today.
Right. So the Warriors, whereas they might be the most likely, they're the ones that are going to be the last to the dance. Which team would you take starting today? Bay Area pro sports teams is the next one into the postseason. Just into the postseason.
That's not an easy question.
Well,
That's what I do here, James.
It comes down for you of whether or not you think the A's are going to make the playoffs. Because you already have the Raiders
Texas
slotted.
I have
the Raiders slotted as a playoff team.
They are.
So, and the A's right now sit 2.5 out in the card for the second card.
Yep.
Behind Texas, Boston, Cleveland, and Tampa Bay, of course. So.
And they're getting some guys back. And can Texas keep this up? They score a lot of runs in Texas. You know what? Are we prison bet? Do we have to prison bet it?
Yeah, you die if you're wrong.
Wow.
Well, that's not a prison bet. That's just death bet.
That is.
Sure. Well, however you want to
imagine. He doesn't survive match. Prison, so it's
yeah,
it's
he
more
shows
than
up in prison and it's like, all right.
I make friends.
Which awful group wants to bring me in? I'll do what you need.
A guy who can't handle waist-high ocean water is going to survive behind bars? I don't like your chances, Jimbo.
Dude, I can make it on the rock. You should see me. I'm badass that way. I'm going to go A's. I'm going to go Athletics because it's the closest there is. And because I do think they're in breathing distance, and I do think this is a team that has shown in the past, they'll add if they have to, if they think they've got a shot at a run. And everyone gets on Billy Beane for a number of reasons, but I think he and Forrest will go out and get somebody. So I'm going to give it to the Athletics. Then I'll say the Raiders are next.
Yeah, A's.
You've got a lot. There's a lot to like there, but the you're not catching up in the division. You're 11 back, so you're strictly playing wild card.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've already got Tampa and the Red Sox ahead of you. The Red Sox, who absolutely will add if need be. Texas is the one that could fall out, and Cleveland could fall out of favor too.
Yep.
But that still requires you to get ahead of Tampa and the Red Sox.
And how far am I away from Tampa? Pretty far, because Tampa's
you're
ahead
six
of the
and a
Red
half
Sox.
Back of Tampa. Tampa's got a 4-game lead on Texas and Boston.
You got Tampa coming to town, and you've got last year to hang your hat on after the All-Star break. The A's get better after the All-Star break. That's what history tells me in my analytics, Dibs. In my analytics.
Okay, John, that's good.
So I'm sticking with those.
Cozalytics are great.
Yeah, exactly.
A's aren't making the playoffs, and you. We've already indicated that maybe you've been hitting the hippie lettuce as it pertains to the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders
CBD oil, sir.
Raiders won't be a playoff team next year. I don't believe, thank you, that the 49ers will either. So I'm going to go with the chalk, Joe, and say it's the Warriors.
Wow, you're going to have some sweating to do between now
and
then.
Sharks will make the playoffs.
Sharks
will get there ahead of the
NHL
Warriors.
NHL season ends first. Although, wait, no. What if the Warriors find a way to clinch a playoff spot before the Sharks? That counts.
Technicalities.
That's not technicalities. Who's back in the playoffs first? That's not technicalities. If they clinch a day before the Sharks do, the Warriors are back in the postseason before the Sharks.
I'm low kneeling it. I'm backing my train up.
I'm
going Sharks.
Your take is over. There is no backing up. You just died. If you had the backup, you just died. You were offered a prison bet.
I backed up over myself.
No, you're on the A's. It's not bad play, but stand by it. What are you doing? You're going with the Warriors?
I'd like to back out of that too, Joe, while we're all driving our trucks. I'd like to get onto the Sharks if I could.
Really?
I was selling them too short, yeah. And I'd like to back that up if I could.
So we're getting no baseball postseason and no football postseason.
Let me tell you something.
No.
The Sharks,
what was that?
The Sharks.
Oh, man.
Go ahead and take a segment off.
The Sharks. The Sharks aren't going to be as easy a playoff team as we think. They still have decisions to make on Pavelski and on Thornton, and both guys, if they come back, are getting old. So the Sharks aren't going to be an easy playoff team next year. The West is going to be better.
That was hot. Both guys are getting old. You need to do some sizzle there.
That's literally what's happening to everybody on Earth.
Every single human living thing
on Earth is getting older every second.
Literally. Also hot.
You couldn't have had a more unanimous take than that. They're getting older. Who's getting younger?
But they're long in the tooth. They're long in the tooth. They're not, 25 to 26. They're 35 to 36, 40 to 41. That's not going to last very long in the National
Everybody
Hockey League.
Everybody makes
load
the playoffs.
Manage in the NHL.
In the NHL, all you have to do is show up with your skates, double knotted, and you make it.
The four of us are in a playoff spot next year?
Possibly.
Jeez.
Where are you going, Fortenbaugh?
Probably the Niners. I don't want to sit back and have to wait and sweat out both baseball teams, although you probably don't have to sweat the Giants that much. I don't want to have to sweat both baseball teams, both football teams, and then find myself in a 50-50 between the Sharks and the Warriors. I think the Warriors are in the playoffs next year. I think the Sharks are in the playoffs next year. So the real question for me is, does someone get there before them in this hypothetical? And you made an interesting case on the Raiders. I could see them making some noise, but I think that division is – the two teams in front of them are good regular season teams. I've been saying this all morning. The Chargers are a great regular season team, and Andy Reid has always been a great regular season coach. Getting past those two this year, given, once again, it's only six home games, and what was the Raiders' schedule? How many East Coast trips did they get stuck with and a bunch of back-to-backs? I remember there being nothing but complaining about the way that schedule broke down.
That's what everybody does.
The NFL didn't give them any favors. I think they're in a dicey spot. So if I've got to go football, I would probably pick the Niners, and then if they miss, I've given myself January, February, March. I give myself about 3 months to enjoy life before I end up officially dying, because then the Warriors or the Sharks get in. So I would rather, 3 months I can spend with the wife and kids.
Right.
And, I've been given 3 months to live, and I'll take advantage of
and
it.
And you could roll the dice if people are out there looking for a dice roll. The Earthquakes right now sitting just a goal differential out of their playoff berth, which I believe comes in November.
Yes.
So that actually might be the second crack. You got the two baseballs and then MLS. I know you're not totally locked in on
When's
the MLS.
When's MLS start?
It starts in March and it goes through December, but the playoffs, I believe.
March to December? Yeah, what kind of season is that?
They're opposite the world soccer clock is what they are. So,
of course,
yeah.
Because, the metric system and everything else. Shout out America. Why has everything got to be so different?
It's one of the big reasons why the MLS will never be considered one of the great leagues, because they don't synchronize their schedule with the European leagues, and thus you can't have the same sort of transfer back and forth.
They're essentially on the F1 schedule, James.
A lot like
which
that.
You will come to learn as you continue studying F1 like I am.
Now, I've been taught that F1 is simply follow the leader. First guy to get the lead, you get the pole, you get the lead, you win the race.
Yeah.
And
the pole is the most important of everything.
And it's
in the first turn. The race starts, and if you clear the first turn in first, as long as you don't have problems with the car, you win.
It's over. And that's why I've been taught that's kind of the least entertaining of them. But I'm trying to get into the series that you have everyone getting into, so I'm getting into
it. More entertaining for the storylines that unfold throughout the race regarding the strategies. You're pretty sure how it's going to end, but there are different tiers. Who's going to win at the top? Who's going to win in the next best of group? And what little strategy elements are going to play out? Mm-hmm. If you go into it really excited about who's going to win, spoiler, it's Lewis Hamilton virtually every single time.
Okay.
Got a little bit sidetracked there with the F1 talk.
You think?
No, not at all. I thought that fit in neatly.
Phone lines are open. 888.
It is drive time, after all.
957-957.
You bring it back around.
Thank you.
Pablo in Oakland, two questions now on the table. You can answer either one. Which Bay Area team is the next to win a title? Or which Bay Area team is the next to go to the playoffs?
Hey, Joe, I got to say, I think I'm in the same church, same pew as you. I got to say the Niners, even though the papers probably say the Warriors and whatnot, but the Niners give me most optimism given the pedigree of which Garoppolo comes from. He knows what it takes to – I mean, not knows, but he's been under the wing of one of the greatest players of all time in the NFL. So I think he'll definitely suit up for the adversity and definitely come through. I think it's kind of crazy to think that the Raiders or the A's are going to go anywhere near a championship, because it all starts at the top. I honestly don't think Gruden is capable of taking the team to championship. Even though he won with Tampa, I understand that, but I feel like he's like a Nick Nurse, where he kind of just filled in the shoes when everything was already built. So I don't know. I don't think that really validates him being someone able to take a team to a championship, given the division they're in and the crazy competitors they'd be faced up against this upcoming year. But yeah, so closing more. Let's hear a little closing.
Oh, that was mean-spirited, Pablo. What kind of a person are you?
Clap it up for that, Pablo. That was good. Any uptick to you, too, which has to sting a little bit.
Wow, that I'm hurt. I need a. Do you have a comfort pet for me? Finish off this show?
Sure. There you go.
Greg in Palo Alto. Greg, thanks for the phone call. Your thoughts. Which Bay Area pro sports team? Next to win a title, next to get to the playoffs?
Both of my picks are the Raiders. I agree with Coase.
Yep.
Dan's tripping. I never really trip out on what Joe has to say because he's always right on.
Wow.
It's the Raiders.
Way to go, Greg. Greg, are you a believer? I think they're a 10-win team this year.
At least, man. I used to work for the Raiders as an usher, and I used to see hands down that the Raiders, man, they get their ass whooped every day, every Sunday, and it's the other hand on the foot, on the it's the other side of the pillow type shit, you know? Excuse me for...
Alrighty. And...
Yeah, let's dump that. Coase, this is what happens when you ask follow-ups and try to get too cute. Although great takes about me always being right. Really enjoyed that. That was strong analysis. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Papa on the Dial Pad guest line in 30 minutes. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across existing devices. Lonio out, back tomorrow. Jim Cozumore in his stead. We've got a couple additional calls on the conversation, and then we are going to pivot. Which Bay Area sports team is the next to win a title? Which is the next to make it to the postseason? You can answer either or both. Brian in Palo Alto. Brian, thank you for the phone call. Fire when ready.
Yeah, initially I was thinking the Niners, and then I was like, come on. You know, from a championship standpoint, it's the Warriors. If they make the right moves, they already have, you know, Joe Montana in his prime and Steph. They just need to make the right decisions. And I'm going to concur with Coase. They miss Jerry. Man, do they miss Jerry West. And this is a massive offseason for Bob Myers. Because his player evaluation has not been fantastic the last 3 years. I don't think you can really credit him for getting Durant. I don't think you can credit him for getting Boogie Cousins. I get that he's a great guy and that he and Steve Kerr are the wonderful friends and that he makes everybody feel great in the organization. But this is a huge season for Bob Myers, man. And I think if Jerry West were here, to me, Jerry West, the first thing he does, which is... increasingly a no-brainer for a lot of Warrior fans, is move Draymond Green.
Wow.
Jeez. All right. Appreciate the phone call. A lot to dissect there. Number one, how quickly the public sentiment on Bob Myers has started to turn.